Simona Dinnerstein, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me, Stuart.
It's really wonderful to have you here. I've known about this album for some time, and you've been expecting it, and it's really exciting. I had a chance to play the C major concerto last week, and it's been really well received. As a way of getting started, tell us a little bit about how this all came to be with the Lyceum, the Havana Lyceum Orchestra.
Well, it's a story that actually starts with me studying as a child with Solomon Mikofsky at the Manhattan School of Music Prep Division. Solomon is Cuban, and I studied with him for quite a number of years, from when I was 9 until I graduated high school. And, of course, he used to tell me about Cuba and about the musicians there and the appreciation for music. And so I always had an awareness of Cuba and was interested in Cuba. And then in 2013, Solomon started a piano festival in Havana and invited me there to perform the Goldberg Variations. And it was my first time going to Cuba. It was very exciting. I had a great time. And then he invited me back in 2015, this time to play a Mozart concerto with the Havana Lyceum Orchestra. And I was just completely floored by their playing. I thought that they were just spectacular. They had such a beautiful way of playing Mozart. It was an all-Mozart program. And they had an incredible sound, and their whole approach to interpreting Mozart's music was really aligned with the way that I felt it should be. And I just was so inspired, and I thought it would be incredible to record Mozart with them.
It's interesting that you mentioned the Goldberg Variations. You never can quite escape from that, can you? Having self-financed the Goldberg Variations some years ago early in your career, and certainly things have changed beautifully for you as a result. So what surprised you the most about working with the Havana Lyceum Orchestra?
I think the thing that surprised me the most about them was how much they listen while they're playing. That's a really rare quality to find in any musician, especially in an orchestra. It's a remarkably hard thing to do. And so if you listen the way they do, then it just creates such a sensitivity of response. And it really made the whole experience of playing with them so just so joyful and so communicative.
And I understand the recording session itself is an interesting story in and of itself. Can you tell us about that? Three long nights and things like that I have read about?
Yeah, well, so we recorded in a church in Old Havana. And there's a lot of noise in Havana. There's a lot of street noise, music. People listening at 10 p.m. Everybody watches a soap opera, so you can't do anything then. So all of this ambient noise meant that we had to record in the middle of the night. So we recorded from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. And we also had to turn the air conditioning off because that makes noise. So it was very hot and humid inside the church. And you know, there were other strange sounds we'd hear, flies on the microphone, and then towards the morning we would start to hear birds. I actually thought it would have been funny if we kept some of the bird song in the recording.
Well, it sounds interesting. And I read that you were operating, there was something about donated strings and donated recording equipment, things like that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The strings, you know, it's very hard for them to buy new strings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked a couple of friends of mine here in the United States if they would donate the money to buy new strings and new reeds for the orchestra, and they did. So everybody was given a complete new set of strings and reeds before the recording, and that was really exciting. And my record producer, Adam Abeshouse, he had to bring all of his own recording equipment down to Havana, and so that was quite a big deal for him to bring all of that. And then I brought my piano technician with me so that he could really work on the piano there, because I just didn't know what to expect, and he did an incredible job. And he actually brought extra materials to leave with the piano technicians there in Havana, because they don't have access to lots of the different equipment that they need.
Let's talk about the performance itself, because I'm sure that you've done these Mozart performances before. Was there anything different about this performance that maybe you hadn't expected? Or?
I mean, one of the things that was really unusual was that we had a lot of time to rehearse, and that was very exciting. So I was there for 2 weeks, and the first week we rehearsed the C major concerto a lot, and then we had a concert with that in it, and then we rehearsed the A major concerto. So, I mean, I had at least 12 hours of rehearsals before we even got into the recording sessions, and that's highly unusual. Most concerto recordings have no rehearsal before you start recording. You know, the moment that you meet is, you know, they turn on the microphones. So I think that enabled us to really get into the details of our interpretation and go levels deeper than it would have been possible otherwise.
Well, the results certainly speak for themselves, because it really is a fantastic new CD. Now, I understand that the Havana Lyceum Orchestra is coming here. Y'all are going to be touring later this year?
Yes, it's very exciting. They're coming in June for 3 weeks, and we're going to do a tour of the East Coast from Boston all the way down to Miami.
Well, that's great. What's next for you in your career?
I actually have some really interesting projects after that next season. Philip Glass is composing a piano concerto for me for piano and string orchestra, which is being paired with a Bach concerto. And 12 orchestras have co-commissioned that. So I'm going to be doing all of those premieres and touring it. And then also I have another project with a choreographer, Pam Tanowitz, and we're doing a collaboration on the Goldberg Variations, and that is going to be premiered in the various places that commissioned it next season. So it's going to be a pretty busy year.
So once again, the Goldberg Variations returns.
It does. But in a very different form.
Yeah. Well, it's really exciting to speak with you. I just have one other question. Wanted to ask you about public radio. What has public radio meant for you and your career, and what do you see it meaning for other artists in their careers?
Oh, public radio has been a huge part of my career. I mean, I think that so many people have come up to me and told me that they first heard me on the radio. And certainly that's how I discover a lot of music. And I think that I certainly don't think that I'd be where I am now without public radio.
And are you still performing around the Brooklyn area? Because I know for a while you were doing lots of little performances at different places close to home.
Well, I have a series at a public school in Brooklyn mm-hmm. called Neighborhood Classics. And I host the series. I'm the artistic director, and I host the concerts. So I do some of that. And I also do something that I call Bach backpacking, where I go into public elementary schools and play in classrooms for classes and talk about music and, you know, have a sort of interactive experience with the students. But I'm really doing that now when I tour. I mean, I just do it all over the country. I go into different public schools. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's not so much that goes on close to home, but more as I travel.
Wow, what fortunate children to have Simona Dinnerstein come in and perform. Wow. Well, Simona, thank you. Best of luck in your career, and thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you.